Good morning, Maranatha. This is Pastor Evangelist Robert Venable, and it is time for Sunday Morning Alive right here on our website. For those of you that come here to get the Word of God, to get instruction in righteousness from the Word of God, we welcome you today. I'm excited about what's going to happen in your life and even in my life as I bring the Word of God. Because the Bible says, Jesus taught it in the New Covenant, if this holy seed, the Word of the living God, falls into a good ground heart, it brings forth fruit. Some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. Because of that, we used to say in our congregation when we got ready to go to the Scriptures that you won't leave here like you came in Jesus' name. The reason for that is because the Word, the seed of the Word of God, falling in good ground hearts, is going to bring forth fruit. 30, 60, and 100-fold. That means you don't leave. That exposure to God's Word, if your heart is ready to receive it, and I believe your heart's ready to receive it, you wouldn't be here on our website today to receive a sermon from the Word of God. Amen. We thank you for being here with us today, and we want you to turn, if you will, to Isaiah chapter 54, verse 17, on the subject, no weapon can defeat the righteous. No weapon can defeat the righteous. Amen. Let's read this together this morning. How many people in this audience have received Christ as your Lord and Savior? If you have, that means you have been made right with God through the shed blood of Jesus Christ in your behalf. It's positional righteousness. And in that positional righteousness, you can't get any more right with God, no matter what you do, than what happened the day you received Christ as your Savior. Because at that very moment, His righteousness was imputed and imparted to us, put to our account, just like Abraham who believed God, amen, and it was imputed to him for righteousness. Faith pleases God. Faith honors God. And that's why the Bible said that we are saved by grace through faith. It is the gift of God. Therefore, we also see in Scripture it is a gift of righteousness, or being right with God by being reconciled to God. Hallelujah. And we are made right wise with God. There is a practical righteousness that comes as we follow Jesus as our Lord. Amen. And we begin to seek to obey God. And there'll be a struggle between flesh and spirit when we begin to do that. And that's a good war. It's a winnable war, but it's a war that is won as we fight the good fight of faith. We do not fight to failure. We fight to win, because we do not fight this battle between flesh and spirit, and spirits actually that appeal to our flesh, on the devil's seeking to seduce us into sinfulness and rebellion and looking back. We'd love to have us go back, but the Scripture said we're not of them that go back unto perdition. We are of those that believe. You see, faith is there. Hallelujah. To the saving of our soul. No weapon can defeat those who have been made right with God through the shed blood of Jesus, and those that are seeking to be practically right with God, as the Scriptures say, the grace of God, which hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness, that we may be righteous and godly walk righteously and godly. Listen, friend of mine, grace is not a cover up for our rebellion and our sinfulness. Grace is a wonderful, privileged place in God because of the blood of Jesus, a reconciling work of Christ on the cross. And friend of mine, grace allows us to walk before the Lord righteously, living a life that is pleasing to Him and a life that is not under the control of the evil one. Grace is not a cover-up for our rebellion and our sinfulness and our disobedience. Grace is something that really puts us in right standing with God positionally and then personally and practically as we deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow Jesus by obeying Him and obeying God and obeying the Word of God. Amen. We have a new bent toward righteousness, both positional through the blood and practical by the power of the Holy Spirit, and both by the grace of God. That's why the Apostle Paul said, "By the grace of God, I am what I am." And he wasn't the same old sinner just saved by it. He was a new creation walking in the newness of life. Hallelujah. No weapon can defeat the truly right with God people. The enemy's weapons, make no mistake about it, are great. And the warriors who wield them are fierce. Nevertheless, no weapon, Isaiah 54:17, listen, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. It's our birthright spiritually. And their righteousness, listen, is of me, saith God. Now this battle against this enemy that is so intent on our destruction involves being able to overcome these accusations, these judgmental accusations, and we cannot do it, listen carefully, we can't do it through sinless perfection. Because no one has ever attained that but Jesus. And no one can attain it but Jesus. Amen. That doesn't mean we're sinful. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body to obey it in the lust thereof. Give no place to the devil. And if we don't give it to him, he can't take it, praise God. His seed, the scripture said, remains in us. His very nature has been imparted to us when we receive Christ as our Savior. Hallelujah. And his seed remains in us that we sin not. I like the scripture, I believe it's Romans 6:16. It says, what? Shall we sin that grace may abound? God forbid. For whoever you yield your members, servants to obey, his servant you are, whom you obey, whether God unto righteousness or Satan unto death, the devil unto death. So it's what we yield to. Listen, if you're fighting today, the weakness of your flesh, and you're fighting against this propensity in our own flesh to sin, not in our spirit, but in our flesh. Listen, that's a battle that God honors. He knows we're not the same person. He knows we want to please Him now and not to please ourselves. Amen. In fact, in order to follow Jesus, the prerequisite to be a disciple of Christ, a follower of Jesus Christ, it begins with denying yourself, taking up your cross, and following Him. Following Him means that we walk even as He walked. In the book of Ephesians, it said, "Be ye followers of God as dear children, and walk even as Christ, hallelujah, who walked in love and gave himself, to be pleasing to the Father. He gave himself in obedience to die the death of the cross so that he could save you and save me, and so that he could please his Father and obey, amen, our Father God today, who sent him on that mission to this earth. Praise God. Every tongue that rises against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. If what? If our righteousness is of God. It's got to be something God grants to us, because there's no way that we can deny that we are not sinlessly perfect. The scripture is very clear, isn't it, in the new covenant. It says literally, if any man say, I have no sin, he's lying, he's not telling the truth. But if we confess our sin, he is faithful and he is just to forgive our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, all iniquity. Praise God. No weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. Let's look at Satan's great weapon here. Every tongue that rises against you in judgment, thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me. That's why the Apostle Paul said, in being found in Christ, in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but the righteousness which is of God through Jesus Christ. That gift of righteousness that is granted to us when we are reconciled unto God through the blood of Jesus Christ. That is not, I'm going to say this loud and clear, this isn't license to sin. For the grace of God that has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness, we should live righteously and godly in this present world. In the midst, you see, of a wicked and perverse generation, we are to shine as lights in the world. Amen. Let's put this in context in just a moment, but before we do, remember what the Bible said about the enemy of our soul in Revelation chapter 12. He said, now the accuser of the brethren are cast down that accuse them before God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. The shed blood of Jesus is the only thing that can make us right with God, that can forgive our sins and have our sins remitted, literally removed, never associating us with the past again. And they loved not their life unto the death. They got this positional righteousness through the blood of Jesus, and the practical righteousness through a deep devotion, living a life seeking to please God. Not under the sway of the devil anymore. Yes, our flesh is weak. Yes, the devil will use everything in the world system to appeal to it. But no, we do not have to give into it. We reckon, that means to count, it's a mathematical term, we reckon ourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God. If we stumble, we get up. We confess our sin, we get up, and we go on. I believe that's what marks the true Christian. It's not living in some state of sinless perfection, which is spiritually, biblically impossible, practically impossible. But we can, as the Scriptures teach us, our Father which is in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. We can get up. We can go on. In fact, if you're a true Christian, I believe you will get up, and I believe you will go on. Can I get an amen out in this listening audience today? Some of you have stumbled. Some of you have fallen. But this marks you as truly born again. Not that you never failed, but you got up. You confessed your sin. You went on, and you are presently going on. Running the race, back in the race. The devil counted you out. He is the accuser of the brethren. The word devil itself means a maligner, accuser, someone who wants to tear down the reputation of someone else and malign them. And that is this pointed finger of accusation. But God in His high court will not receive the accusations of the devil. Who is he that condemneth? The apostle writes. Who is he that condemneth? It's Christ that died, yea, is risen from the dead, and ever lives to make intercession for you and for me. Who is he that condemneth? It's Christ that died. Every tongue that rises against you to judge you and condemn you. I'm not talking about convict you through the Word of God. I'm not talking about when a brother or sister comes and says, you know, this is wrong and you need to get it right. No, that's iron sharpening iron. That's something we should help each other with. Encouraging one another to be right and get right with God practically and live a righteous life before the Lord. But it is not sinless perfection. If anyone could achieve that, Jesus did not have to go to the cross, did not have to shed His blood. He asked the Lord, He asked the Father in the Garden of Gethsemane if there's any other way. Any other way for them to be right with you so you can keep them from eternal damnation and eternal separation? Is there any other way to save them? Let this cup pass from me, nevertheless, because He knew there is no other way. Amen. Thank God for Jesus today, who's given us this divine privilege and power and opportunity. Amen. To trade our sin-stained robes. He takes it. He wears it to the cross. He is punished in our place. And He grants unto us His innocence, His robe of righteousness, that we might be covered. Hallelujah. That we might be right with God. Hallelujah. The enemy is the accuser of the brethren. Remember the story of Job? An angel came up before God, evidently that had been cast down, but he came up from the earth. He came up in the presence of God. Remember Jacob's ladder, as we call it? He saw this passageway between earth and heaven, and angels were descending and ascending. Well, an angel that had been kicked out of heaven showed up. God saw him coming. God is omniscient. He knows everything. But he asked him, what are you doing here? What are you doing here? Illegally. But there he was. He came up. And he came up with this specific... His mission was... He was on mission. He came up to do one thing, accuse a righteous man of doing it only for what he could get out of it, not because he honored God, not because he reverenced God, certainly not because he loved God. He said, listen, all these people you're blessing, they will curse you to your face if you take the blessing away. And he said, have you considered my servant Job? And he says, well, you just let me at him. You let me take away all those things that you have put a hedge around him that I can't touch. By the way, if you're right with God, there's a hedge around you. And if you don't give place to the devil, I'm going to tell you right now, he can't touch you. He can't touch you. He can't touch you. He can't touch that God has encircled about with His angels, praise God, that God has put a wall of righteousness, this hedge. This has nothing to do with some kind of agriculture, amen, situation. This has to do everything with a spiritual barrier that you have no right to touch that. I love what the scripture said about giving in Malachi chapter 3. It says, not only will He open the windows of heaven, pour us out a blessing, there shall not be room enough to contain it, but He will rebuke the devourer. He will tell the devil, you cannot and you must not, and therefore you will not touch that blessing that I have pronounced and given to those who are right with me and obeying me. Praise God. Oh, friend of mine, this is a powerful truth here today. Every tongue that rises against you in judgment, thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. Listen, here's the reason. And their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. Friend of mine, there are people that will never forgive you. There are people that will run you down because of your past as long as you live, and they'll have to answer to God for that unforgiveness. But it's not about what they do. It's about what He has done, because you have received Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And that blood has given you a standing with God that the devil cannot contend with. He cannot break it down. He cannot destroy that. And if you begin to walk like Jesus walked, in the volume of the book it is written, I came to do Thy will, O God. And if you're seeking to do the will of God, this grace that has given us positional righteousness also enables us, by the grace of God, to be able to be forgiven if we fall down, to get up and to go on, and to keep on keeping on. Who is he that condemneth? It's God that justifieth. It is Christ that died, yea, that is risen again from the dead. And why was He raised? The Bible said He was raised for our justification. It's a forensic term. It means we can't be prosecuted. Just like our courts today, you can't be prosecuted again for the same crime. Amen. If that crime you've been delivered from the condemnation of it, and the absolute justice that would have been rendered because you've been acquitted, you cannot be prosecuted again. Now, any new sin, that's a whole different thing. That has to be confessed, got under the blood of Jesus. By the way, if you never ever confess sin, I heard someone say the other day, and I won't go into political stuff, but someone say, I was asked the question, have you ever asked God to forgive you? And the answer was, I live a good life. And in other words, in that person's words, I really don't need to ask forgiveness because I'm living a good life and I'm a good person. Let me tell you something about this attitude. That person needs to repent of their sin of pride. This is an arrogant thing to say when the scripture said, there is none that doeth good. There is none righteous, no, not one. And except your righteousness exceed that of the scribe and the Pharisee, you shall in no wise be forgiven. You'll in no wise enter the kingdom of heaven. They were the highest order of religionists in the day, and they practiced good things, but they were not good enough. And when someone thinks they're so good, there is an underlying sin called pride, and God resists the proud, and He giveth grace to the humble. Jesus put it this way, two men went up to the temple to pray. one a publican, which means he was a tax collector. He was a Jew collecting taxes for Caesar from his own people. He was most hated and loathed as one of the lowest and greatest sinners. And the other was a Pharisee, one of the highest religious orders. And the Pharisee, they went up at the same time, and the Pharisee saw him over there. And the Pharisee said, "I'm glad I'm not like other men, especially that guy. I'm glad I am holier than him, better than him. I am a good and righteous person. He is a loathing, lowly, loathed person." And the Bible said the publican would not even so much as lift his eyes to heaven. The Pharisee's not bowed. He's standing, praying in his self-righteousness. The publican was beating himself upon the chest and saying, "Lord, forgive me, a sinner." He was humbling himself, confessing his sin, seeking forgiveness. And they both went down from the temple. And the Bible said only that publican was truly forgiven and made right with God in that economy of the old covenant righteousness. He was made right before the cross, and we are made right because of the cross. But this principle of humbling ourselves, confessing our sin, repenting of our sin is important today, to realize this is how we get initially, positionally right with God, and then we begin to practically begin to obey God and live our life seeking to obey. There will be conflict between flesh and spirit. Oh, but friend, in our spirit there's a new bent toward righteousness. There's a new desire to please God. Amen. To take up our cross, deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow Jesus Christ. And when the enemy points his finger at us, reminds us of our past, and tries to convince God that we are unworthy of this position before Him, and this righteousness that He's granted us, we overcome not by being sinlessly perfect, although that is the goal that we should all strive for, but understanding that no one has ever achieved it. And without the cross and the Christ who died on it and the blood that He shed, no one can enter the kingdom of heaven, because no one is that righteous. No one is that perfect. No one is that holy. There is none good. None that doeth good. None good. No, not one. Not even. And if you think you're the one, we're praying for you. We're praying for you. You need to get right with God, because whatever righteousness you assume you have is self-righteousness. And I'm going to put it in plain language. That won't cut it, old horse. That you can't do that. You can't stand before God in your spotless robe. You have to stand before God in a robe that is granted you when He grants a gift of righteousness to you, because you've repented of your sin, humbled yourself before God, repented of your sin, received Christ as your Savior, and thereby are reconciled unto God. Listen, but if you're a Christian today and you've done that, every tongue that rises against you in judgment, thou shalt condemn. Praise God. Hallelujah. How do we do that? We plead the blood of Jesus Christ in our behalf. He pleads His own blood in our behalf as our great high priest in heaven. Amen. They overcame Him by the blood of the Lamb. The accuser of the brethren has been defeated by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, Revelation 12. The scripture tells us to hold fast our confession of faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. Hallelujah. Praise God, I'm redeemed. How about you? I'm forgiven. How about you? I confess that truth concerning the shed blood of Jesus in my behalf. Dear friend of mine, this word confession, I know it says profession in the King James, but it's the word profession in the Greek means confession, and it goes beyond that. It means to say the same thing as another. That means I say, and you say as a Christian, what God has said about you and about me. Not how we feel, and not what other people say, and not what the devil is saying with his pointed finger, but what we know to be true, because we have come to Christ, and we have repented of our sin. We have received Him as our Lord and Savior, and we have been reconciled unto God, and now we are seeking every day of our life to live our life pleasing to God, to be obedient children. Be ye followers of God as obedient children, and walk in love even as Jesus Christ, who gave Himself as a ransom for us, as a sweet-smelling savor to God. Hallelujah. Dear friend of mine, today, this is how we live a life where no weapon can defeat the righteous. Let me back this up and put it in context as we close. Isaiah 54, 14 through 17. It said, "In righteousness thou shalt be established. Thou shalt be therefore far from oppression, for thou shalt not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near thee. Behold, they shall surely gather together, but not by me. Whosoever shall gather together against thee shall fall for thy sake. Behold, I've created the smith that bloweth the coals in the fire, and that bringeth forth an instrument for his work. And I have created the waster to destroy." You see, our God is omnipotent. He's all-powerful. The Creator has absolute control over His creation. The devil did not and cannot create anything but fear. God created the maker of the weapon, and the warrior who seeks to destroy with it, the warrior that wields the sword. And listen to what He said, because He is the Creator and He is in control, no weapon that is formed against thee, verse 17, shall prosper. Why? Because God will not receive that accusation, and God will not allow the enemy to sift you as the wheat, or me, or destroy us today. As long as we don't give place to the devil, he can't get through that hedge that God has put around us. Hallelujah. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith God. Hallelujah. This is a gift that has been granted because we have repented of our sin, received Jesus as our Savior. They overcame the accuser of the brethren, the devil, the maligner. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, and their devotion to follow Christ. Amen. They love not their life, even unto the death. We crucify the flesh and the lust thereof, that we might take up our cross and follow Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Being right with God, trusting in Him, will assure us of victory over the accusations and intentions of our enemy. God's armor, though impenetrable, is not realized unless we stand firm. And when we stand firm, amen, we're going to have a victory. Amen. Not because the devil relents. He's relentless. But God will not accept his accusations, nor will he remove his hand of blessing, his covering, his favor over our life. What more shall we say to these things? It's the end of the argument. Hallelujah. There is now no condemnation to them that are in Jesus Christ, who walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. Praise God. Friend of mine, there's victory in Jesus, but we have to be right with God. And today, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, every weapon in Satan's arsenal will be effective in your life. You don't have that covering. You don't have that place in God that you can have a relationship with Him. In fact, the Bible said the wrath of God abides upon you. That means every day of your life, instead of blessing, the wrath of God abides upon you. But that can change. That's a scary place to be. Who would you call? Who would you call when you're dying? Who do you talk to? Are you waiting for the devil to just get you to that point in your life to destroy your health, destroy your mind, destroy you through drugs and drink, destroy you? He's Apollyon. He's the destroyer. Jesus said the thief came but to steal and kill and destroy. But I've come to give you life, and I've come to give it to you more abundantly. And we're not talking about getting the riches of the world. This abundant life is different. Jesus said a man's life does not consist in the abundance of things he possesses. For what would a man give in exchange for his soul? God wants to save your soul, save your life, seal you with the Holy Spirit, and keep you safe from the wrath to come. That's the abundant life today. Life eternal. Life here and now with God's blessing upon it. Hallelujah. Come to Jesus today. Run to Jesus today. Don't wait another moment in the condition you're in. What happens if there's a head-on collision? Someone crosses the center line, either drunken or has a heart attack, and where would you go? Where would you spend eternity? Come to Jesus. Come to Christ and experience the peace to live your life in a faulty body in a fallen world without fear, in peace, in Jesus' name.